Hey guys, thanks for joining us once more for the penultimate entry of the Clannad Book Club podcast. We are Kazumatsuri, and today we're here to discuss the Nagisa Route by Jun Maeda. Joining us this week, we have the wonderful Biscuit Dough, and we also have two guests here today because our regular Pepe couldn't make it for this one. We have the Rational Pie, who joined us earlier in this book club.
Hey there.
And we also have joining us for the first time for this book club, Yerian.
Yo, 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 I'm Yerian.
Good to have you back, man.
So, good to be back.
We have a lot to talk about with this route, obviously. We're finally moving into what many consider the main story of Clannad. And well, we saved the best for last. Well, I shouldn't say that. But we definitely organized in such a way that we prepared the last girl for last. Like, we didn't want Nagisa to get out of the way first. But I know a few people in the forum did read her route quite early, which is perfectly fine. I know a lot of people who read Clannad for the first time definitely do that. But we decided to save her for last because we know it would be tying into with what will eventually be after story. Is that a spoiler?
I was going to say that, well, the VN saves the best for last for you.
Hey!
Oh, yeah, that's very true.
It does kind of set you up to want to go down Nagisa's path first.
There's no doubt that this is like the VN is playing towards you getting here, right? I mean, the fucking OP is like in this room.
Yeah, that's a thing that happened. There's a lot of things that indicate to this being like the true route. Like, you got like the illusionary world scenes, which always seem to cut off abruptly, but they continue in Nagisa's route, where they kind of end when you enter any other character's route. Which is interesting in its own way. Like, I thought maybe there's some deeper significance to that. I don't know. But then we do learn, like, the illusionary world is the theme for Nagisa's play, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. So at this point in time, we're like, we don't know where the story of the illusionary world came from. But for all intents and purposes, we understand it as Nagisa's play, which she ended up butchering with the Dungo song at the end.
Which Tomoya also knows better for some reason. Wow, which was kind of weird.
Yeah, Tomoya knows it too, but no one else does. But they have no idea where they know it from. So that's a little bit of mystery that I'm hoping will be cleared up in After Story.
Hey, before we get too far, is it possible for us to get that 30-second recap?
Oh yeah. How could I forget?
Oh yeah.
Yerian, take us away to the place where dreams come true.
I'll take you away, you ready? Let's go. One fateful day, our protagonist meets a girl who won't stop talking about food. Her favorite are these weird little anthropomorphized dumplings who are trying to take over the school. Tomoya decides that he likes food so much that he wants to date her. And after they get some advice from a delicious lolly, they prove themselves in a game of basketball and are deemed worthy to put on a play. At the last moment, Nagisa realizes that Dongos might not be everyone's dream. However, her father assures her that her dream is also his. Plot twist, the Dongos actually make her very sick, and Nagisa has to repeat her third year for the third time. But our story ends as it began, with the long, long uphill climb.
You're over time.
Put it over.
I failed.
We're going to have to just go ahead and rename. Yeah, guys, we're just going to have to make a big book club change. They're going to be 35-second recaps from now on. Just to make sure we can get those last couple.
Because no one can make the 30 seconds.
Yeah, almost make it. Almost.
Almost. But no, that was good. I like your interpretation that Nagisa's illness is caused by the Dungos.
She does eat the dongos, so yeah, I could see it.
The dongo would never do something like that.
That's what
they want you to think.
See, what had happened was whenever Tomoya painted them, he used lead-based paint, and
Tomoya
should have paid attention in school, Tomoya.
Oh man, I have probably a bit too much to talk about here, so I'm not sure where you want to start. I mean,
you were talking about illusionary worlds and all. That was interesting, but I think we should get back to that And just go ahead and start with our... It's the basic, you know, starter. Let's talk about... let's talk about how we all feel. Let's talk about our feelings. Ask me, what do you think about this room?
Ah, it's full of warm, fuzzy moments. I think that describes Nagusa so well. Like, there's a lot of ups and a lot of downs, but it feels like a very fulfilling route, except for maybe the ending. but even then, it's like a bittersweet sort of ending, too. I compare Nagusa a bit to other key characters where, like, I guess a bit like Misuzu or someone like Kamari from Little Busters, where there's this unbridled optimism and sort of, like, this worldview that everyone gets sucked into that just makes you happy. It's an overwhelming sense of positivity that it really appeals to me in, like...
But that's not exactly characters, her.
But people in general.
Just because she wasn't happy. She hasn't been happy for most of her life, it seems, because she doesn't seem to have any friends, she's always sick, and she doesn't have any self-confidence, it seems. So I'm not sure...
She lacks self-confidence, but when it comes to other people, she has, like, an unlimited source of energy. It's like, she's always busy helping others, and, like, I think it's not so much, it's not so much a happiness, but it's the optimism and kindness and consideration for other people that I think is really admirable.
I would say that she has, like, she has that kind of mystical key, like, character aura where everyone she's around feels better, and, like, everything that she's a part of automatically becomes a better experience. And I think Tomoe actually speaks to that. He's like, her being friends with two losers like us, like, we've both been bettered by this, and, like, just everyone that she's with becomes, like, a little bit better in their own way.
Yeah, I actually really prefer I think I'll say the anime did things a little bit better, but I really like how in the VN it's just Sunohara and Moya. Like, it's not so much the huge drama club that we see in the anime, where it's like there's a bunch of like girls there. This is just, you know, two awkward guys and one awkward girl.
Yeah, it's a choral club.
Yeah, and the choral club. Like, there are supporting characters there, but yeah, it feels a lot more Sunohara and Tomoe's journey from being delinquents to actually accomplishing something with their school life, which I think is really cool.
I agree. I think... Although, I think the one thing that I did like about that the anime did better was after sitting through all the other routes within the same experience, it kind of felt like the whole a lot longer of a trip. So when you get to the end and you realize that Nagisa has to repeat again, it kind of had a bigger impact when I had been sitting through all the routes in the anime.
Well, I'm going to... Like, I don't know about your reading order, but I read Nagisa last, so it certainly felt like a long journey for me. Like, I got the opening video 124 hours in.
Yeah, same here.
I agree. It's just, if thinking about it as if it's just like that 1 month, and that's all you're sitting through is just kind of what I was thinking about.
Yeah, I have to admit, I was actually kind of struck by how short of a time in the game it really was when he talks about, like, oh, that 1 month that we spent with each other was the greatest month that I had. It's like, wow, that really? Kind of only 1 month?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it should be obvious because you've got the calendar up in the corner, but it really did feel like it should have been longer.
Yeah. Especially whenever you start considering, like, their actual, like, relationship developing, you, like, realize that it's only been, like, 2 days and Tomoya is, you know, waking up normally, which happens naturally in this route, as opposed to, like, you choosing things. It goes quick. Which, I mean, life can change on a dime, I suppose.
Yeah.
But, anime adaptation feelings aside, what'd you end up rating this specific route?
I haven't given it an official rating on the forum yet, but... As this is probably one of my favorite routes, I'd probably give it a 5.
How'd it make you feel?
How'd it make me feel? I don't know. Aspie was talking about this connection to Nagisa, I guess, and I agree with that. She has this sort of aura that, like you said, that Tomiya describes that everyone just loves her and everyone changes when they meet her. And I feel like it affected me in that same way too. Like back when I first, this is a rereading of Clannad for me, but when the first time around, I definitely feel like I changed when I met Nagisa.
I can agree to that. I agree with that sentiment. From the anime perspective and kind of my original idea, I would go so far as to say that I don't particularly like the anime adaptation compared to the VN. That could end up just being me, but I feel significantly differently about this as I do about like the two or whatever times I watched the anime through. But Nagisa specifically is a character that I feel significantly different about. I feel like she wasn't presented as well as she was here. There's like, it's weird. Like, if you look at it on paper, like her archetype or whatever, is something that I'm just not into. Like, I don't really care. But whenever you read the actual story and like the way it develops and stuff, like you end up caring, and she ends up kind of being a much more dynamic character than I had originally thought. Like, I can't really put an archetype to her. Like, she may be a bit weak or whatever, but she's a really good character, and I ended up caring quite a bit about what was going on in this route, in the same sense that I'm sure Tomoya would.
I kind of disagree with you, Biz, and I kind of agree with you. I can't help but compare this to the anime adaptation, because this is the route they adapted last of the first season. Like, it was a big climax, and they kind of built up to the relationship between Tomoya and Nagisa really well.
I felt like it fell flat in the anime. Like, at the end of that, like, 24th episode, where I was just like, pfft, like, I just did not
really
care one bit.
You didn't? Yeah, you weren't, like, enamored by that confession scene? That was amazing. Man.
Huh. That's the exact opposite of my experience.
Yeah, I mean,
It felt very flat to me. I don't know.
I felt like the emotional impact was a lot more intense of Nagisa's route in the anime, but they also overplayed it. Either way, like, the whole point of it being melodrama, because it's Akio and he's an amazing actor, it, like, plays well into
the... Like you say about being overplayed, that's how I feel. Like, I feel like it was too much in anime. I feel like looking at it as a melodrama and looking at how natural and like life isn't that overly dramatic.
Like, it's a play.
I like how it felt very... I'm not talking about like the Akio scene. I'm talking about like...
That's what I'm talking about.
Their relationship. The Akio scene in the VN was absolutely fantastic compared to the anime. Like, I remember when I saw the anime version, I kind of chuckled a little bit because I thought it was silly.
I don't agree one single bit. I think the anime did that
well.
So much better.
I don't know. Maybe it's just a mindset thing. I don't know. I don't want to write your opinion off, but...
I think I know most people I've talked to, like, the first time they cried in Clannad, if not Fuka Root, was definitely the drama club scene, the performance.
Yeah, and he just like, I really like the imagery, and not to go talk about the anime and not the VN, because this is a book club, but I really like the imagery of when he like slammed his fist on the wall, but...
Yeah, there's some good shit there. Like, and again, like, I feel like the whole confession scene, like, obviously, they didn't mean it to be a dramatic thing in the VN. Like, it was just kind of... It just kind of happened, and it was all going so fast. Like, I can appreciate that. That's definitely intentional. But I do feel like the way the anime did it was a lot more impacting. Anyway, we should probably stop talking about the anime.
Yeah, if I can jump in here, it feels like we sort of... We started talking about it at the end, which is... maybe a little bit strange. I mean, naturally, the end is the part that we most recently read, and so it's freshest on our mind. It's the thing that we're thinking about right now. But I was wondering if we can take it sort of all back to the beginning of Kamen, because the first character that we really meet is Nagisa. And, you know, we have that introduction to her on the hill, and I'm wondering, after reading all of the roots, or if you haven't read all of the roots, at least after reading all of Nagisa's root, how do you feel about that scene? Does it feel more significant to you now? Like, how has that really changed in your mind after, you
that
know, going
scene
through
is
it?
Like, it's like a foil to like the entirety of what this root is and what it feels like going forward. Like, there's so many repeated themes specifically about this one idea of finding new happiness, moving forward, going together. Like, it's hammered in. And it all, like, I almost felt like going back and rereading it and like saying, you know, how many times did they repeat this line? Because I felt like it was literally like copy and paste that over and over again, like how direct it was about how connected that scene is.
Yeah. What I really like with this route is how it actually ended with the same scene. It's like, you know, where our long journey isn't over, but it's continuing, and we're going to keep walking up this hill together. It's like really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the whole meaning of walking becomes so much more different when you think of Nagisa's condition there. But anyway, going back to the start.
Yeah, I wrote this on the forum, but Clannad has one of my favorite VN opening scenes, just because it's so, it starts off right in the illusionary world and you have no idea what's going on, but it's just so cinematic with like the credits just slowly appearing and fading off on the screen, and then the OST background tracks, and then I mean, I've seen this beginning scene so many times with the anime and the VN and etc. And I swear each time it's more and more meaningful, just because I know what is beginning.
It almost feels cyclic too, like I was just describing how the beginning matches the end. It's the same with the illusionary world, because you could almost interpret the scene we first see of the illusionary world. It makes more sense now that we've read Nagisa's root, because, you know, you see like winter starting, the snow falling, and like,
there's a connection.
Yeah,
obvious connection actually being made, and so now you can start kind of drawing comparisons and trying to think about what's happening in reality and then what's happening in this illusionary world, and like, what does it all mean? You know? considering the fact that like the illusionary, like once you actually get into this route, that those scenes are like an integral piece of this route, you realize that it's very important to this specific direction.
Mm-hmm. Just like going back to Nagisa's character, I've gone on record to say that Ryo is my favorite Clannad character in the past. Having read her root and the Cape root, I can definitely still like find many things to admire in that character, and I can really respect the growth she experienced throughout the roots. But I can't honestly say she's my favorite, because that has to go to Nagisa. Well, or Akio. Akio's really fucking good.
I still won't say that Nagisa is like my personal favorite character, but she is phenomenally developed.
Nagisa's my favorite girl. I can say that much with certainty.
So I might get run out on a rail for saying this, but I don't know. Nagisa just feels too stereotypical to me. The particular character type that she is a Pollyanna. She sees the good in everybody, and she's always happy. Everything's, you know, she's not as much of a Pollyanna as, say, like Komari and Little Busters, but she's still pretty far along that spectrum. So I don't know. She doesn't stand out to me as being a particularly unique character, but for what that's worth, I don't actually think a character needs to be unique to be good. So I think that she's good. She just doesn't really jump out at me as being the best character in the visual novel.
I think the things that contrast her, like being set into that one archetype for me specifically, is her adamant movement towards doing the right thing. Like, she's able to actually clarify whenever something is wrong. So that she does see wrong in things, and that she can say that, you know, she can't just pull out a good, like, maybe she can think of like a good intention, like whenever you think about someone's like psyche or whatever, like maybe they think it's the right thing to do, but she thinks of it a bit more generally about like, no, that's not right, you're gonna do this, and she's very adamant about that, and that kind of brings out it's a contrast to the idea of her as a weak character, because she makes pushes for people to do things a certain way.
She has incredible willpower. She does push
her ideologies.
But I do feel like Tomoya is a big part of that. Like, it's kind of like Tomoya and Nagisa both help bring out the best of each other.
Absolutely.
And without Tomoya, yeah. Nagisa is probably not going to do
Nagisa
as well.
Is the girl who sits in the park looking around at nothing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is part of why I feel Nagisa is so important to me is because of how important Tomoya describes her to be to him. Like, there's this one line he says, he's talking to Sunohara, but he thinks this, and he's like, her very existence is saving me. And I just had, like, stop after I read that line for a second, because I was like, holy shit, that's a big thing to say.
they're like a pair of batteries, and like, if they're not together, then they're not charging anything.
Mm-hmm. And I can really see that after reading all the other routes. Like, a lot of people on the forum have commented on this, but, you know, it really feels like these two are the two that can really help each other and support each other more than any other, like, couple that Tomoya has been involved with. Just like you were talking before, how, like, Nagisa is a bit of a Pollyanna, and she always, like, sees the good in everything. But it was Carafeen that brought up at the very end of the thread here that... it's not always to her benefit. Like, there was the scene with the choral club where Nagisa refuses to accept that the choral club are bad people and that they would have done something like bully her. And that kind of is a pitfall for this sort of blind optimism. But I feel like the existence of Tomoya and Sunohara there, especially Sunohara, was actually able to save her from that becoming a worse situation than it could have been. So that's what I keep going back to, like, you know, this whole theme of family, guys, like, nobody is alone and that we all need to support each other. It's so important, because if you don't have your supports in life, then you won't get as far as you could if you just did it alone, because Nagisa may be weak alone, that's probably very true, but when she's got her family, and not just her immediate family, but also her friends and stuff, her, you know, sort of her circle of relationships, that's when she can really thrive and become the powerful force in Clannad that she is.
Yeah, I mean, you brought
it really
up...
It really speaks to Tomoya's character a lot as well. And it's definitely an important aspect of Clannad so far. Is like an important, you know, piece of this root here is that Tomoya is living with the Furukawa family, and it completely changes his perspective on a lot of things, in that he's actually living with a family, and he's like, wow, Sanae is a freaking cool mom, Akio is a really good dad, and stuff. Like, he's able to make these conclusions, and he feels a lot happier whenever he is there. That's why he stays there. Mm-hmm. But speaking to Tomoya as a character himself, I wanted to talk about something that Canon actually brought up in the topic, is like, no holds barred, like, fuck yourself, insert characters. Tomoya is outstanding. and this route, like, really plays to him being a character, and it goes in so many different ways. Even starting from when he tells Nagisa, oh, I'm not gonna fuck around with the basketball or whatever. You can't say no. Like, he's gonna go check on her. Like, absolutely going to happen.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's what I said earlier. Tomoya, like, he's his own person.
Tomoya makes his own decisions, and everything reacts to him specifically in a certain way, not as it would to any other character. Like, he has his own background, and he is going to view things a certain way, and he does have his own cynicisms, even at the end of the route. He's kind of at an odds with a lot of things. He's not sure how he feels.
At the same time, though, I do feel like Tomoya is just really easy to relate to. Like, I find myself agreeing with, like, everything he's thinking, even though I've never had that happen to him. To me, I mean...
So this is maybe going to be a bit of a personal question, but would you describe your family life as being functional or dysfunctional? And you know, depending on which one you were, did you feel like weird interacting with families that felt the opposite? Because I know that in The Root, Tomoya kind of comments on this. He's like, you know, comes from this sort of broken family. And as he's leaving the bakery, you know, Nagisa says to her parents, like, you know, oh, I'm heading out. And they're like, okay, have fun. You know, we'll see you later or whatever. And he felt like that. The fact that that felt so natural felt really unnatural to him. And I'm wondering, what was each person, how was each person's sort of home life? And did you feel any particular way about it?
Yeah, I think like what you're asking here is like, how do our own personal home lives compare to Clannad, and like how we, how does that influence our reaction to Nagisa's family?
Well, not necessarily Nagisa's family, just like in general. So say that, you know, say that you were in a dysfunctional family. Did you feel weird going over to families that seemed to get along? Or if you came from a family that got along really well, did you feel stressed when you went over to a family that felt more dysfunctional? I mean, everybody spent time with families other than their own. How did that always feel to you?
I don't think there is anything. I don't think there's anything more just very strange about being welcomed into another family's home. Even if you do have kind of a normal family life, in my previous relationship, whenever I would go over to my significant other's house and stuff, and I would hang out with someone else's family, and they just kind of accepted me as a family member, it's a weird feeling. It's very strange, and it's odd that it comes so naturally. Like, the first time, you know, you meet somebody else's parents or somebody else's family, it's always just kind of awkward at first. But, like, yeah. The thing that's funny is that those parents, like, 9 times out of 10 know that it's weird, and they end up just acting like themselves, and they just know, like, that they want to make you kind of a comfortable guest in their home, and they just kind of accept you, and it becomes, it feels natural. Like, it feels like a place that you do go to every day, and you stop, you just immediately forget about, the fact that you're in someone else's home.
Yeah, just to answer your question, Pai, like, I grew up in a small country town where everybody knew each other. So the act of, like, going to someone else's house was kind of not a big deal because we already knew who they were and they knew me. You know, my family was pretty normal. Like, we had our issues. Mum and Dad are divorced now, but, like, I consider at least my childhood was a very normal one. And, yeah, but I can still, like, see Nagisa's family. I'm just like, wow, these guys are fucking close. Like, I actually want to do a shout out to forum member Ika. He was in voice call the other day, and he was just like talking about his family and stuff, about how like he's like telling them all about Kazumatsuri and how like, you know, they're all so like close, and like they're all like friends, and it's like, I found that weird, but I'm like, you know, families take all forms. It's just, you know, it's amazing how just seeing that kind of family kind of takes me aback a little bit, but I'm almost like I really admire those kind of households where it's just like everyone, it's just so, it's less like a institution of I'm the breadwinner, I am the caregiver, and it's just like, you know, everyone's friends and has a fun time. Families like that are really fucking cool, and I think that's more what the Furukawa family feels like to me than anything else.
I would say that growing up, probably didn't have really any dysfunctional anything. Everything was definitely pretty fine growing up. I would say that nowadays is more questionable, because I would still consider myself kind of in a period of growth, personally. I mean, we're all always kind of growing as people, but I would say that I'm still in that kind of growing period, and I would say that this speaks more to my actual current living situation than it does others, so I relate rather heavily to Tomoya's perspective, and definitely feel very envious of a family like the Furukawas.
I mean, I personally have always had, you know, the traditional family, like mom, dad, sister, and I actually haven't ever really known too many people that were dysfunctional, as I guess you would say. So, actually, coming to Kazumatsuri was actually a kind of a a realization, I guess, sort of an epiphany, because I met so many people from who are all different kinds of backgrounds who have dysfunctional families, and it was just kind of hit me that I've almost been kind of living in a bubble, I guess, and that isn't really relating to Clannad, but that's just kind of how I feel.
Well, like, yeah, like, does that mean you've had difficulty relating with, say, Tamayo in the past? Tamayo?
That's kind of what I was trying to say earlier, is that no, I don't feel that way. And it's, I don't know if it's just he thinks the same way I do, or if it's just written so well that I can, like, insert myself into him, or whatever, I don't know. But, I found myself thinking the same things he was, like, before he'd think them. Like, he walks, Nagisa tells him to go and just walk right into her house. And I'm like, that's really weird. And he's like, no, I can't do that. That's really weird. But at the same time, he talks about his father, and his father will say stuff, like, when he's about to leave. And his father would say, I really miss talking to you. And then he's like, yeah, and he leaves. And then he's talking to Nagisa later, and she's like, what did he say? And he's like, he said he'll miss me, but only because he will get lonely. And I'm like, oh, that's not what he's thinking. He means yeah, he just sees you as a friend.
I definitely see kind of, I felt like that was almost like a flaw in Tamoyo's part, the way that he perceived that. Like, I feel like he's perceiving it that way, even if they may have, like, that kind of understood relationship. I feel like he could have taken that a bit more to heart than he did.
He definitely pushes his father out unnecessarily, I'd say. Like, he's just focused on, he doesn't want to make up with his father.
I really like what Tamoya says about, because it's not just about something being dysfunctional. It's about, like, the amount of activity, or, like, the amount of care that comes from a family that's living together. Is that he said families have always just had this, his idea is that families have this unspoken agreement to ignore the fact that they live together. And I found that line really fascinating, because it's true. A lot of people in these families, they just are going about their own business, and they're not really kind of stopping in every now and then to kind of see what's going on. And they're just kind of living day to day and doing their own things, and they don't realize that, you know, everyone in your family is kind of going through their own things. And you may not really connect with that, because you're not really doing things as a group. You're just kind of not thinking about the fact that you're living together. Whereas the Furukawas are significantly different in that they're taking advantage of the fact that they're family, and that they truly, you know, care about one another. You know, they care about their dreams and passions, and they live to those ends at all times. And I think that family is, like, a truly happy family.
Definitely seems that way. Hasn't there been some thought that they're actually a bit of a dysfunctional family? I guess, like, the whole thing with Akio not telling Nagisa about the past is kind of a big flaw of their relationship as a family. There was that weird choice at the end there where it's like you get to decide if Akio is a good father or a terrible father.
Oh, yeah. Did anyone...
That just hit me really hard.
Did anyone... Or anyone right here, did anyone click the second choice and tell him he's a terrible father? Because I didn't
I had to see what happened. And
I didn't,
like,
end up having time.
Tamayo basically being a bit selfish. Like, he's just kind of scolds Akio for, you know, keeping this from Nagisa, and Akio just takes it. It's like, yeah, you're right, I'm a shit father. It's like, oh, you know, I don't really think that.
I think that... you could probably view it one way or another, but I definitely don't think that the vegan wants you to think that at all. I think it is definitely telling you that they're not a dysfunctional family, and that's why telling him that he is a good father, regardless of what he did, was a good choice.
Yeah.
In the end. It didn't have anything to do with, like, them withholding things because it's something that she didn't need to know. It had to do with just what her personality is and how she would perceive that. That she would take it the wrong way. And they were right, and she did take it the wrong way, but they were able to, you know, break through with her, like, and explain to her, because she doesn't understand what it's like to be a parent. And, like,
but
I feel like a lot of this is driving towards trying to explain, like, what a parent's love is. Even though it's something that is inexplicable, but it's...
Yeah, but that's not all, because this route has some very interesting use of choices. There's a final choice at the very end where you can either choose to call out to Nagisa or not. And if you don't, then that's it. And she just doesn't continue the play. But it's because Tomoyo was able to add to the chorus of Akio and Sunae that Nagisa was able to find the courage to continue the play. And, you know, it's not the most amazing prose in the world, but the fact that Tomoyo is there and his support was needed, I think, is very significant there.
Going back to, are the Furukawas a dysfunctional family? And I would say no, and it's more of that they're just dysfunctional people, which is everyone. So Nagisa has her flaws, Akio has his flaws, Sanae has her flaws, but together they work really well.
So, I'm going to throw this out there, but I feel like good people have a tendency to, like, take it really hard on themselves when they do something that they don't, you know, feel is good. And, you know, I think that if you were a bad parent, I think that, you know, withholding information from your daughter so that she feels better wouldn't make you feel bad at all. You'd be like, whatever, I don't care. But the fact that Akio is such a good father is the reason why he takes it so hard when Nagisa gets upset. And maybe that's... I wonder whether that's a failing of good people, or whether that's exactly the thing that makes them good people, is the fact that they can't forgive themselves for their own mistakes. And Akio really needs that. Like, maybe he really needs that support from Tomoya. Like, one of the questions that I had in here was, you know, Akio really sort of bungles trying to keep Nagisa in the dark about that past. Like, why does he even tell Tomoya about this box and their past and all of this stuff? Because, I mean, at that point, Tomoya had already sort of given up on everything. Like, he had said, oh, well, I guess we're not going to find that story. And they stopped searching. And I have a feeling that it's not because he's an idiot, although it does kind of make it that way. He sort of bumbles around and, you know, calls over Sunae to bring over tea when, you know, that's obviously tipping her off to the conversation that they're having, and he's really loud and all that stuff. But I think when you get right down to it, he feels guilty, and he just really wants to get it off his chest. He wants to tell somebody, like, about this, because he has been holding it in for so long, and the only person who's in on the secret is Sunae, and of course she's in on the secret because she's part of the secret. So
maybe he feels like that it's something that she should know, but it's something that he can't present, and he wants to know, or him and Sunae want to know the best way to do it without Nagisa taking it the wrong way. And he just doesn't know how to do that. And it turns out that Tomoya is someone who does.
Yeah, there's that one scene right before she actually does find the stuff where he's like, this would be the perfect time to tell her, when she's finally willing to progress in her life, but not right now before the play. And I think you could be right, Biz, that Akio maybe wants Tomoya to ultimately be the one to help him tell her.
I mean, looking at them as a dysfunctional family is, well, they already were dysfunctional. because if you look at their past, they ignored their responsibilities and biting them in the ass, right? And that's when they had to, you know, kind of come to a realization of what they were doing with their lives. Like, you know, hey, we have a kid and we need to think about what we're doing, and do it the right way. And you learn, again, going back to that first hill scene, I absolutely love how their past is explained. It's like they've chosen to raise a child, and they come to accept that. And through Akio's speech, shout out to his voice acting, by the way. Fantastic.
Burn the anime! Oh, sorry.
Go fuck yourself. Anyway, like, they come around to change what it is that makes them happy. And they're able to find new happiness. And that is directly related to what Tomoya tells Nagisa at the beginning of the visual novel, whenever they decide to start moving up the hill. And, you know, Nagisa finds her happiness in Tomoya. As she said, like, I wasn't able to find anywhere to smile, and I was living, like, this really boring life, but now I do, and it's right here with you. And it kind of speaks to this idea that there's always something more to live for. And, like, regardless of the fact that if Akio and Sanae abandon what was their dreams then, that doesn't mean that anything stops them from being able to realize what is their true dream now. And that they can still live happily. Like, dreams change. Like, maybe when you're a little kid, you want to grow up and be a police officer, but then maybe when you get a little bit older, you start to realize what you really want to do, and that's going to just keep changing. I mean, hell, look at college. Like, what person doesn't end up changing their major?
Yeah, I mean, I think what Akio and Sanae say about our dream is your dream. We just want you to be happy. And I think that is actually, that's something that all parents actually wish for. I mean, that's what my parents have personally told me growing up my entire life, is as if to get rid of any guilt I might have over something like that, is they're always saying the same kind of thing. And I think we've been tossing around this term, this dysfunctional family, but ultimately, what is a functional family? I mean, we have an idea of what the traditional family is, but why does the traditional family have to be the best family, the goal?
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, there's all different kinds of families, and they all accomplish being a functional family in their own unique ways, you know? So I don't think it's right to decide that one type of family is better than the other, but I definitely think, like, the sort of ideal of a family is one which, as you described, their parents can put their children first, and I think that's super admirable.
So, quick question about the basketball game. Who did each of you guys pick, or at least who was your favorite of all of the options?
Akio.
Akio?
Akio is definitely the most interesting of all of them. Just the others felt a bit more short compared to Akio. Akio's was like, his entry was so dramatic and awesome, just like him. And yeah, just...
I was actually really rushed when I was reading it, so I just chose Kyo because she was the first one to pop up.
Aww, Kyo's the boring.
I know. I'll have to go back and go through and read them all when I have the chance.
Much like the magic spells, you gotta pick Akio.
Biz, what'd you go with?
I didn't do any of those.
Oh, you just went with Ryo?
Ryo.
Oh, Kyo. Oh, Ryo wouldn't really work out very well. I ended up going with Yoshino Yusuke, which I thought that would be much more exciting than it actually was. It ended up being a little bit of a letdown because I thought that you would get some good Yoshino speeches in there, but nah, not really.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A lot of them were very samey.
Mm-hmm.
Very short.
Yeah, but I guess
the most interesting one for me.
I'll have to check that one out. I had a bit of a minor theory. I was thinking, I was wondering, do you think that Sunohara might have planned the basketball game not to prove something to the Coral Club, but for Okazaki's sake? Because, you know, Tomoya sort of takes his handicap at basketball really hard. And he, you know, it's a major point in his personality and a major point in the story for him. But at the end of the game, like, he ends up making that shot. It sort of changes his whole outlook on everything, and it makes him much less, I guess, fatalistic. Do you think that that was planned by Sunohara, or was it a happy accident?
I think Sunohara actually has, like, a lot of these happy accidents, which make him seem kind of amazing.
I think it's a quirk of his character, is that, like, you see him as kind of the butt of all the jokes, but then just for absolutely no reason, he always has the perfect thing to say.
Oh, yeah. He says them so, like, nonchalantly, too. Like, he's talking to Tomoya in his dorm, and they're talking about how he didn't go to the picnic, and he's like, she only has confidence because of you, so when you're not with her, she's not gonna have any confidence. And he's like,
I always love how Tomoya just never has anything to say back either. He's just like, damn, Sunohara.
Straight talk from Sunohara.
But I gotta talk about the romance of this route. Because, like, then we move on to the whole hand-holding scene, which is, like, my favorite part of the whole route.
It's so cute, so nice, sappy.
But the whole way of illustrating how they're both, like, trying so hard to connect with each other and overcome their own relationship anxiety is really fucking good. Like, I know Pepe commented on this in the discussion thread, how, like, this isn't a thing that always gets touched on when you're looking at relationships in different media. Where it's like, does the other person actually love me as much as I love them, sort of thing. And so they put this little cute little challenge of, like, let's hold each other's hands for as long as we can. And, it's so nice. I loved that scene. And then we finally get the kiss scene at the end with Sanae as Jeans in the background.
I have to admit, I really do like this because it feels very high school romance, but at the same time, it doesn't feel like it's mocking the high school romance of it all. It's not like it's, oh, look at these dumb kids and what they think about love so far. It's like, oh, this is kind of cute. Like, isn't that sort of sweet? And
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sort of the innocence of it is not taken as a negative. It's not a naivete. It's actually like it's an earnestness that people lose as they get older.
And it's an important step for them, I'd say, in the relationship. Like, that's kind of why it just fades out there and you don't see the rest of the picnic, is because, like, that was important. They held hands, and then just because of the contest, and then they were starting to hold hands just without thinking about it, and then there was the kiss, and, like, that was, that's an important step for them.
Without, like, absolutely any build-up whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just like, and then we share our first kiss. Like, it's just, like, supernatural. It just, like...
Yeah, it's great because I was like, all the build-up at the times they're trying to kiss and they get interrupted, but then they finally get their kiss and it's the most natural thing in the world.
Yeah, and then they just sort of end the scene. It's like, there's no aftermath to it. Nobody reacts to it. That's one of the things that I sort of like better about the visual novel versus the anime, because in the anime, they take that scene and they continue on with it and you have Akio react and everything else. But the way that it happens in the... the way that it happens in the VN. Because
it's a kooky anime. Woo!
Well, I think it's maybe natural because you don't see the anime cut off the scenes like that. But in the visual novel, just sort of cutting off the scene right there with, you know, the CG, I think that was a good way to do that scene. How do you guys feel?
I agree.
Just trying to think of a funny line to agree with, but I can't think of anything.
I just wanted to bring up, like, at the very end of this route, where we have Nagisa, just her illness progressing and the time skip. It starts playing its new BGM called Yuki no Hara, which translates to Snowfield. And this is the first time we've heard this track in the entire visual novel, which is kind of unusual because this VN does like to reuse its tracks quite a lot. And just to see this new one pop out of nowhere, it's just a bit like, oh, we're not done yet. Sort of feeling like a to be... It's almost like... You know, the whole Nagisa is a big to be continued. Yeah. And, like, I don't know how people feel about, like, that, if that was a satisfying conclusion to the route or not. But, you know, that song hitting there just felt especially powerful to me and just it almost like
there are a lot of
drilled in how serious it was. Yeah,
there are a lot of things in this route that feel incomplete. You have the cyclical nature of them continuing off where they began, but you're like, it feels unfulfilling. Like it feels like indefinite. Like what's like, there needs to be something more definite about this idea. No, there wasn't necessarily a solution to what was going on. Like, who's to say Nagisa can't get sick? Who's to say Tomoe is actually happy? Because he very clearly wasn't very happy. He was very frustrated about what was going on. You have new BGMs that are just like popping up out of nowhere, when everybody knows that the soundtrack for this being is fucking huge. You have these dream segments that are, as far as I'm concerned, they still feel incomplete. Like, we haven't gone somewhere. Something fell flat with these dream sequences. There's still story going on here that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I feel like the ending was trying to sort of get that point across. I think that it was intentionally left a little bit open-ended. I actually didn't like the ending, because I think that the way that they did it in the anime was a little bit better, where they ended before having like Nagisa getting sick again and all of that stuff. I think that what they did would have fit better in After Story, the way they finish it in the visual novel, because this felt too much like they were stretching to get that bookend in there. They really wanted to bookend the beginning of Nagisa's arc with her standing on the hill and the end with them walking up the hill together. And I think it would have been better to allow that to be sort of a callback at the beginning of After Story, as opposed to
I think they wanted to meet a middle ground somewhere. They wanted something that could end and feel like it might be a justifiable ending, but then also have something that someone could question and like feel a bit uncomfortable about. I feel like they wanted to try to meet kind of an uncomfortable middle ground.
Yeah, I just think it was a little clumsy, and that's my personal opinion on it. I think it would have been better if they had taken more of the anime route, and maybe that's the reason why the anime was the way that it was, is that they had the opportunity to go back and change it, and that's what they did.
Going back to the music, so ever since I've first experienced a Clannad, which of course was with the anime, one of my favorite tracks has always been To the Same Heights. And
oh, I love that
so
song.
We go back to the basketball scene, and he makes the shot, and he's thinking about what he's just done, and he says, "Even people like us," he's talking about himself, Sunohara, Nagisa, "can arrive at the goal if we try hard enough. While our path may not be the same one everyone takes, we can still reach the same heights." And that just really hit me, because I knew the track was called To the Same Heights, and it starts playing right there. And it wasn't like...
I like that track for a lot of reasons. One, specifically, I just think that the actual, like, it's just amazing. Like, it's so well orchestrated. It's fantastic. I love that track just as it is, as music. But to the name and to what it means in the actual where it's used is... I feel like that track can absolutely be considered like the theme of Clannad. And I mean, it's obviously reused elsewhere in the future for a certain anime in a very certain way that I think everyone is a fan of. This track is just the name alone is absolutely fascinating. And like you said, how you have these seemingly dysfunctional people who, regardless of their circumstances, through willpower alone, they absolutely will, because they won't have it any other way, they will live happily, and that they will still find true happiness just like anyone else would, maybe easier or otherwise. It doesn't matter who you are and what place of the world or actually it kind of does, but anyways, rambling. Like, it's driving home this theme of life and this theme of always being able to find what it is that makes you happy, even if those things change, which you know, 10 times out of 10 they will. Like, your life is not going to be a set in stone like story. Like, your story is not written. It's going to change, absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. Things are going to come out of left field that you're not expecting. People are going to die. People are going to move in and out of your life. You're going to meet new people. You're going to be financially sound one day, and you're going to be a total wreck another day. These things can happen, and they will happen for most people. I mean, obviously there are exceptions because the world is a cruel place, but it's just, it's fantastic. It's perfect. It speaks to everything that I feel like Clannad wants to speak to.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, it begins with that. That's the what all through this, all through the route, that's what's hammering in, and then...
And it's absolutely no surprise to anyone, I think, that that specific scene is... That is the moment when you... Like, that's your key. That's your flag to getting on that Nagisa route. Like, that's it right there. You have to make the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Otherwise, you end up on Komura. Yeah, this whole idea of dreams and how, like, if we have the ability to pursue them, we need to pursue them. Like, at the very end, it was a very memorable scene of Nagisa. Like, she's holding back Tomoya almost with her illness, but she just says, you know what, keep going forward, don't wait for me, you know. And I think that's really important, that, like, even though they can't graduate together, it doesn't mean they're not going to face the future together. And I think that's what it's really setting up for with After Story, which I'm really excited to get into. Pi, you still haven't talked about music.
No, I wanted somebody to talk about music, so there you go.
I was waiting for you.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you wanted me to say something about Same Heights, I've definitely got things to say. One thing I really enjoy about it is that it's got this form that they call in music an air, where at least during part of it, you have this sort of bass note, or kind of this home note that it keeps on going back to. So it bounces back and forth between this home note and the notes of this melody. So it's when it goes ba da 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 da, and you've got that home note that it keeps on going back to. And that just really, it feels good to me in that sense, because family is sort of that home. Like, that it really reinforces in Clannad that it's like, you know, you've got this family that you keep on going back to, you've got this melody that is your life, but at the end of the day, it's like you keep on, you know, coming back to your family, and that's your home base. You never really leave that, you know. It's the anchor, the town. It's the anchor that holds everything. So
The town, the family, the dongos.
Yeah, the town, the family, everything like that. It's just like, I feel like that's just very, that's something that maybe a musician might not, or a non-musician might not pick up on, is that they have that in there. And so it's just sort of something I want to bring up.
So I guess we should start wrapping this up, guys. Special thanks to forum members Sonic112003. Lots of numbers. Is that 112003 maybe? Inu Conan Doyle, Kiketsuki Miyu, The Plastic Spork, Canon, Pepe, Sakim, Carafian, and The Rational Pie. Everyone pretty much wrote an essay in this route. It's like, it took me an hour to get through.
But crazy, crazy forum input.
But it was awesome. Thank you,
like,
so much,
really,
guys.
Really good. Like, best forum input in book club history. Like, amazing.
I wouldn't say that. We've had some pretty good forum discussion on other routes.
These were fantastic reviews, man. Like, they were very good. In detail, and, like, different people's perceptions, and, like, looking at the route not only from a message standpoint, but as, like, from writing. Like, it was fantastic. Really, really good job, everyone. I also wanted to personally give a shout-out to, obviously, our current audience. God, I don't know how to say that. Is it Gagler? Gagler, is that
it's,
right?
It's G. Hagler. His name's George.
Say that.
And his last name's Hagler.
Yeah, yeah, so okay. I'm saying that then. Want to give a special shout out, obviously, to our listeners. Remember that whenever we do this podcast, we got a little podcast live on our Discord, so you can come hang out. But G Hagler, Helios Alpha, you know, Conan Doyle again, and Carfan.
Moving on from that, we also have the big announcement. You guys have all been contributing amazing discussion each week. The forum like, as I've kept saying, it hasn't been the most active book club in terms of, like, consistent discussion, but every post we get is amazing. So it's, like, quality over quantity this time. Some really, really good discussion happening. And
I've already said that I feel like my, like, ideal book club podcast is still Comra. Like, that was... oh, what a fantastic podcast.
But talking specifically about forum input in this stage, you guys might remember, you might not, we're doing a competition, and the person we decide is the MVP of the book club will be receiving a big prize pack.
They make it hard for us, too.
Yeah, they really do. The prizes are going to include the Clannad 10th Anniversary Art Book, the Clannad Visual Fan Book, the Soul Rider Range Album, and even a Dungo. I think that's all the prizes. And today I'd like to announce our three candidates for the package. MVPs. And that is Canon, Carafian, and Kuketsuki Miyu. Congratulations, guys. You are in the running to win the Clannad Care Package. Pachi, pachi, pachi. Seriously, like, it's going to be... You've made it really hard for us to decide. Because I know Canon, like, each week he's, like... Obviously, he has his own very unique style to his posts, but he always gets a discussion happening, and he always brings up topics that some people might not want to talk about. Like, he's always, like...
You may not understand his vernacular, but the thing that's fascinating about the discussion that brings is not only does he spark discussion in a very specific way that is absolutely wonderful, but he's very impartial, and, like, he says not only exactly what he thinks, but he still always, maybe we'll have that one sentence of, well, maybe, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's very, very good, and for that, we thank you greatly.
Yeah. And, like, Kuketsuki Miyu has been, like, this is her first book club, but every single week she's always participating in the discussion with, like, she's always responding to what other people say. Like, she always has her big post, but she is always back on the discussion thread after she's posted and coming back and responding to things other people have said and keeping the discussion alive that way. So, like, that's really, really good and what we love to see here. And then, of course, we also have Cara Fian, who has the most elegant essays on every single route. And the massive walls of text, but they're such a joy to read. So, I don't know how I'm going to pick. It's going to be hard. I'd say, like, if you want to, like, in the book club topic, you can, like, maybe put up a poll or something. You can have, like, a community favorite or something, community choice. And, like, you can have your own say of who you think the MVP should be.
And then we'll choose the opposite.
Yeah.
Remember to vote for yourself.
Yeah. I think I'll do that. But, yeah, you've given us some hard work deciding on a book club winner, so yeah, we'll have to have a long think about this. I'd also like to announce that after some discussion, we have decided to delay the After Story podcast for a week. We know many of you have already finished it, and we apologize for having to make you wait a little bit longer, but there are quite a few of our community, some of us here included, that are having difficulty getting through all of the content in time, and After Story is going to be a bit of a slug.
It's not necessarily a surprise either, because even from the beginning, there's been discussion of whether or not we wanted to just make it 2 weeks to begin with anyways.
Yeah.
So we decided we would play it by ear, and it's kind of turned out that way. So
yeah,
that's what's happening, and that gives us time to, like, actually, like, come up with something really, really good for, you know, a finale for the Root podcast at the very least. So
it's going to be a good one.
I think it's something to look forward to. I think it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I am super excited to get into After Story, the big climax, the big, some call it the magnum opus of Jun Maeda's career. I would disagree, but either way, it's a big deal, guys. If you haven't read After Story, you're in for a treat, like, legit. Bring some tissues, guys, because this blows everything out of the water. It's going to be heavy. So yeah, you can look forward to that in 2 weeks' time. If you've already read it, then be sure to get on the forum and share your thoughts and respond to the discussion there, because I really want to get this topic pumping with heaps of discussion this time. Because we want to end this on a bang, guys, so please support us in this last 2 weeks. Get that fan art in, because I don't know what's going to happen with the anthology. We might have to cancel or rearrange it in some way because we're just not getting enough submissions. But if you want to help there, we'd really appreciate it. And then maybe we can actually do something with all these fan works we've compiled over the last few months. So please, one more rush, guys. Let's do this. Let's end this book up with a bang. This is your host, Aspidey, speaking. Thank you for joining us once again for the Chasm Arts 3 Book Club. And I'll see you in 2 weeks. Till next time. Dango, 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 Dango. The Dango family's a happy family. They're as cheery as can be. Dango family.